Psalm 136. I want us to consider Moses' prayer life. Last week, this is the prayer life of Joseph, and I want to touch on some areas tonight, several of them, the references to the prayer life of Moses. So, look first of all at Psalm 106. You remember I told you last week that different men are known for different reasons in the Bible. If I mentioned Samson, you would say his strength, yes. And if I mentioned Job, you would say, well, the Bible speaks about the patience of Job. So we'll see about Moses. Psalm 106, look at verse 19. What Psalm 106 is a commentary on some of the events of the history of Israel. And in verse 19, when Moses is in the mountain, Aaron, his brother, makes the golden calf. And it says in verse 19, they worship a molten image. Thus they change their glory for the likeness of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God their Savior, who has done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things at the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Look at that verse carefully. He is going to destroy the whole nation of Israel, but it says, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. A remarkable commentary about Moses. Now, look at Jeremiah 15, verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind would not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. God, thinking of the judgment that should befall man, speaks also of two of his servants, who in the past have driven the brute, have been supersessors of power. But in some instances, God says, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind would not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. All right, now let's read some of the references about Moses and his prayers. Turn to Exodus 3. His prayer life is different than the prayer life of every other child of God in the Old Testament. Not in the fact that all who pray speak to God, but the numerous references to his prayer, the way he prayed, what God thought about him as a man of prayer, and also how he and Samuel were compared as being incomparable as men of prayer. So, let's look at some of the things concerning him. In chapter 3 of Exodus, because some of his prayers at first are strange little prayers, and they are similar, but let's see what this one is. Verse 10. This is what God wants to do. At the burning bush, he's speaking to Moses, and now he's giving him an assignment. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? I'm going to show you his character right now. Here is one who was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You think of him in his greatness? But it says also that Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. So when God has chosen him of all others to redeem the children of Israel, look at verse 11, and Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now, let's look at chapter 4. I'll emphasize this again. Chapter 4. Look at verse 10. God is going to send him to Pharaoh again, and this is what he says in verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, for I am a man slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh a man dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt speak. Now here is one of his prayers. Listen. And he said, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. So here is a prayer of Moses to be excused from being the spokesman who goes and demands a favor that he let his people go. And let me show you another reference about the humility, the self-condescension. Look at chapter 16. Chapter 16. The children of Israel are murmuring against Aaron and against Moses. And look at verse 7. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord. For that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us? Isn't that remarkable? Some of us would have been indignant and said, Do you not realize that I am he who gave up a place in Egypt to the children of Israel? That God has personally chosen me? Do you not understand my greatness? But time after time he says, Who am I? What am I? Who is a man of lowliness? Now, we've read one record. Notice in verse 4:13, that God told him to go, and his prayer is, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. And the outcome is this, verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is there not Aaron thy brother the Levite? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And I shall speak unto him, and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. So this prayer is answered, and Aaron goes along as his spokesman. Now look at chapter 14. Notice that this prayer is simply a prayer requesting being excused from doing the will of God. Now in verse 14:15. Pharaoh and his army are coming after the children of Israel, and they're at the Red Sea. And verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. So see, they're in a predicament, and Moses is crying out unto the Lord. And the Lord says, I don't want you to keep praying unto me, to cry unto me. Go forward. Now, look at chapter 15, verse 1. After they were delivered from Pharaoh and his army, Moses is praying, but it's a different kind of prayer. It's not prayer asking, Lord, excuse me from being your servant. Lord, deliver us from Pharaoh. It's not prayer now, but it's praise. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he hath become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. So Moses is not only one who can pray to God concerning his own need, that concerning the nation of Israel, and then he can praise God, and God answers prayer. Look at verse 25. The people come to the waters of Marah and the waters of Bitter. And look at verse 24, 15, 24 of Exodus. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. And he cast it into the waters. And the waters were made sweet. You see how Moses again and again is faced with a crisis. And he cries unto the Lord. When the nation is about to be destroyed, he cries unto the Lord. And when the bitter waters, they are unable to drink them, he cries unto the Lord. And each time, God answers that prayer. Now, look at chapter 17. Chapter 17, because I'm saying that this is a prayer, and yet you hear no words uttered. But let me read it to you, and you tell me if you think that this is Moses, an intercessor. Verse 8, 17:8. Then came Amalek, and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And it says in verse 12 that Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side, the one on the other. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So here is a picture of intercession. A man holding up his hands to God. It says, Paul says, this is the very way of the praise. Lift up holy hands. And so here is Moses in an attitude of prayer and supplication. And as long as his hands were up, supplicating God, it said, the nation of Israel prevailed. Now, look at chapter 32. The study this week is so different for this reason. When I told you about Joseph last week, I looked at every reference in the Bible and never found one when he prayed except this indirect prayer. When he was talking to Benjamin, he said, the Lord bless you, my son. The Lord be gracious unto you, my son. Notice, he's praying a prayer, the Lord be gracious unto you, my son. That was all of the searching, that's all that I could find. But in the case of Moses, why, I told you all of this so far, and we've just begun. But look now in chapter 32 at verse 10. This is what we read about in Psalm 106. Here is the historical account. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people, that thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Therefore should the Egyptians speak, saying, for evil did he bring them forth, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he said he would do unto his people. Remarkable. Now, look at verse 30. Verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure, I shall make atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if I will forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. Here is another intercessory prayer of Moses. Now, think a little bit. I want to read another incident. But think of Moses and how varied are his prayers. And notice the difference, the way that Moses prays and others pray. On occasion, some have prayed, and when they prayed, God immediately answered and had a conversation with them. Do you remember Abraham, when he was praying for the redemption of Sodom? He prayed to God, and when he prayed, 50, God said, I will stir it for 50. And then he prayed on, and God said, I will stir it for 45. Here is a man praying to God, and God not only listens to him, but immediately he speaks to him. And so for some people, it's never been this way with me, and it hasn't been that way with others that I've read about in the Bible. But some have conversational prayer with God. They see a need, and they speak to God in prayer, and God is listening, and then God gives them an immediate answer. And so Moses was one who had conversational prayer with God. It wasn't always that way, even with the Apostle Paul. When he had a thorn in the flesh, he prayed to God one time, two times, nothing said. The third time, then the Lord Jesus spoke to him. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Concerning your prayers and mine, what we do is pray to God and try to ascertain whether he's answered that prayer and whether there is the peace of God that passes understanding in our heart. But understand that in the Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament, there were some who prayed to God, and God immediately spoke back to them. Do you remember that when Ananias was spoken to by God, he said, go and carry out my instructions concerning Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias said, Lord, we've heard about this man, how dangerous he is. And the Lord said, go your way, he's a chosen vessel unto me. And so there are some who speak to God, and God speaks to them. And Moses was such a man. Now, two other things. Here is conversational prayer, but again and again, we have intercessory prayer. When you pray to yourself, that is self-prayer. But when you pray for others, it is intercessory prayer. And that is what Moses did again and again. When the children of Israel would sin against God, Moses would cry to the Lord. He would intercede for them. Intercede that God might not destroy them, and at the same time, if the waters were bitter, he would cry to God that God might make the waters sweet, and God would answer his prayer. So remember, Moses had conversational prayer, he had intercessory prayer, and I'll show you another in a moment, but concerning Moses' prayer, when he prayed, it was the kind of prayer that God would answer him, and then he would go and give that answer to the children of Israel. What does that mean? It means
that being a prophet, when he prayed to God, God would give him certain words to pass on to the people. So that is why some of the prayers of Moses result in God making known his will, not only to Moses, but making known his will to the children of Israel. And Moses being a prophet, and a prophet is one who speaks the mind of God, Moses would go and pray to God, and God would let Moses know his mind and his will, and then Moses, in turn, would go and tell the will of God to the children of Israel, because he was a prophet. It speaks of him as a prophet of God. There's not arisen so great a prophet as Moses, and for that reason, you see God speaking to him, not brief sentences, but chapter after chapter. Moses is speaking with God, and God tells him all the instructions as to how to build the tabernacle. Think of that. And he says, you be careful that you build it the very way that I told you to build it. So here is Moses, who not only speaks to God, but he is the recipient of the words of God, and then he in turn passes on those words to his people. That's what we're supposed to do today. There are no inspired prophets that I've ever known that are able to speak infallibly the way that Moses did and Isaiah did and the Apostle Paul did. But I hope that there are some of God's servants who read what God has spoken concerning his people in the past, and he's guided by the Spirit to say, this is the chapter that should be brought to the attention of the people of God today. This is the subject. This is the doctrine that should be preached on. That's the way we do it today. Now, in the case of Moses and Isaiah and the Apostle Paul, they would speak to God like this. When the people at Thessalonica were concerned about their loved ones who had died before the Lord came back and established his kingdom, they wondered if they would miss out on it. And I have no doubt that Paul said, Lord, tell me concerning this event and the outcome of it. And I know that God answered him, because he said this, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is a word of the Lord. God has spoken to him. So there were some like Moses and Isaiah and the Apostle Paul who would pray to God, and then God in turn would tell them his immediate will, what the answer to the problem that existed was. And this is one of the characteristics of God and his conversation with Moses. Now, let me show you this. Turn to chapter 32. Verse 7. And please notice the difference in translation here, because if not, there will be a contradiction in your mind, because the tabernacle isn't even in existence at this time. So listen as I read to you in verse 7. Now Moses used to take the tent and to pitch it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. Now, this is not the tabernacle of the congregation. This is Moses' personal tent. And it says that there was a time when Moses would take his tent, go away from the camp, afar off from the camp, and he would pitch his tent, and he called it the tent of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone that sought the Lord went out unto the tent of meeting, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tent, that all the people rose up and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tent. And it came to pass, when Moses entered into the tent, the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tent, and the Lord spake with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud stand at the door of the tent, and all the people rose up and worshipped,
every man at his tent door. Now this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp of his minister Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man departed not out of the tent. Please notice the intimacy of Moses with God. Verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. This is one of the loveliest concepts in the Word of God. Most of the time, we are broken, we are in need, and we go as suppliants into the presence of God. But though this happened so many times with Moses, when he went into the presence of God, God met him as a friend. Not that God was some superior being, inaccessible to Moses, a creature of the dust, but here is God, and he speaks to him as to a friend. Please notice again that Moses is speaking to God, and God speaks back to him. Now, number 12, let me show you how God describes his servant Moses. Numbers chapter 12, and when Miriam and Aaron criticize Moses, God is wroth with them. And look at verse 6. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision. I will speak with him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. He is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even manifestly, and not in dark speeches. And the form of the Lord shall he behold. Therefore then, were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? Now, this is frightening. Our Savior told us to pray this way, our Father which art in heaven. But when Moses spoke to God, it was not God in heaven, but God came down to the door of the tent where he was, and God assumed some form, and God spoke to Moses, mouth to mouth, face to face, as a friend. And it's not spoken that way concerning anybody else in the Word of God. And inasmuch as this is so, and I've shown you from Jeremiah 15, the greatness of Moses, so great that there's only one other with whom he can compare him, put him in the same verse. Though Moses and Samuel stood before me. And so God knows the intimacy and the prayer life of Moses, and it so impresses God that when he is prepared to destroy the whole nation, Moses intercedes, he stands in the breach, and God says, I have heard your prayer, you have turned my wrath away. Who ever conceives of such a thing? Is it possible that someone today, some friend of yours that has sinned against God, and God is prepared in his righteousness to judge that man severely, destroy him? Is it possible that you and I would go and, as Moses, stand in the breach and save that dear one from destruction? Because the children of Israel were the people of God, whether saved or not. Score them. And yet it says, Moses stood in the breach, and God heard the voice of Moses, and God repented, and he said, I will not destroy them. So, when God hears you pray, it's like a man said to me, I can't forget it. Years and years ago, I used to go to a certain assembly in a distant city, and I went year after year because they always invited me. But then another full-time worker came there, and I received no more invitations. But after maybe 5 or 10 years, not having been there, we were driving through, and it was a prayer meeting night, and we went into the meeting. And one of the elders came and said, oh,
you're here. What happened? Did your car break down? He wondered about my being there because I hadn't been there so long. And I'm wondering concerning your prayer and mine. An emergency arises and suddenly we're in the presence of God praying fervently unto him. And as the friend said, what happened? Did your car break down? And so God, it would be embarrassing, but God would have to say, what is the matter? Is your child at the point of death? Are you nearing bankruptcy? Is it that your life could be ruined unless I get you out of this predicament? Isn't that a sad thing? But in the case of Moses, there is no reproof. God says, I speak to him as with a friend, mouth to mouth, face to face. Moses speaks to me, and I in turn speak to him. So this is a little bit about the prayer life of Moses. May we consider that we shall, in the week to come, maybe 2 weeks, and make our lives like Moses' life of prayer. That's enough. Let us pray. Now, Father, we marvel that such things are true. Let us know that we pray to you, but none of our lives have been anything like what we've read about Moses tonight. That emergencies do arise, our God, and we have cried to you. Let us know that we pray to you concerning this assembly. Lord, your Son said this during remembrance of me. We want that to continue, and we would like to have more voices that can stand up and praise your Son, and we would like to worship you in spirit and in truth. So we are not Moses, our God, but we pray for your glory to give us an increase, and also, Father, that you will help us to be like Moses, faithful, to cry to you when an emergency arises, and yet to have a fixed place and a fixed time, our God, to go and meet with you. And may we know your presence with us as we are assured that we may come boldly to the throne of grace. So help us to be better men and women of prayer from this study in the life of Moses, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.